24 years ago this past weekend, women's figure skating champ and Stoneham native Nancy Kerrigan, who was dubbed America's skating sweetheart, was hurt by a man who whacked her legs with a police baton as she was leaving an ice rink. The ex-husband of her rival, skater Tonya Harding, was charged with hiring the man to attack Kerrigan. Harding was charged with interfering in the prosecution of the attack. And even today, this real-life tabloid story continues to get attention. This past weekend, also, the new movie retelling this story, titled I, Tonya, won a Golden Globe Award for Best Supporting Actress. Joining us to talk about this is John Powers, the Olympics correspondent for the Boston Globe. He was at the event where Kerrigan was hurt, and he later saw Kerrigan and Harding compete in the Olympics. John, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. This movie, I, Tonya, apparently is very sympathetic to Tonya Harding. In fact, she was at the Golden Globe Awards Sunday when Allison Janney, who played the role of Harding's mother in the movie, won for Best Supporting Actress. But remind us of Harding's career a bit. She was a very talented skater, yes?
She was. And I think if you look back, clearly she was on the wrong side of the tracks, if you will, the way the figure skaters were looked at back then. But she had an enormous amount of talent, and I think if you look back, probably Tonya got in her own way. Didn't train as hard as she needed to, but that said, she was still fourth in the 1992 Olympics, having arrived late and out of shape. So clearly she had the goods.
Mm-hmm. And what about compared to Kerrigan?
Basically, Nancy was a very solid skater, better all around, much more graceful, much more of an artist, looked better, if you will. Leggy, lithe, and I think that her personality was more used to what figure skating fans in the media were expecting, you know, from a country that had produced the Peggy Fleming, the Tenley Albrights, and the Carol Heises.
Hmm. So let's talk a little bit first, just in case folks don't remember, what happened specifically 24 years ago between Harding and Kerrigan. Kerrigan was hurt by a man when she was leaving the ice rink in Detroit, and Tonya Harding then issued a public apology. Let's listen to a clip of that.
I have devoted my entire life to one objective: winning an Olympic gold medal for my country. This is my last chance.
So I'm wondering, John, what was it like to cover this story and to see all of this as it was playing out?
In a word, it was bizarre. I was in Detroit. I was just finishing up a feature story on Nancy Kerrigan because she was a local skater that was going to run in the next day's Boston Globe. And sometimes your friends, your colleagues will play a prank on you. And someone said, hey, did you see that Nancy Kerrigan got whacked by a crowbar? And I said, ha, ha, ha. It turned out it was true. And then when we talked to Tonya at a press conference, I think the next day, and we were all joking, wouldn't it be interesting if Tonya had this thing all set up? So that's how it began for us.
Mm. And then, of course, we did find out that her ex-husband hired the man involved here.
Yeah, I think what was interesting is that, you know, you have a whole generation that's now grown up that wasn't around for that.
Right.
It's unclear how involved Tonya was in that, but clearly she had actually made the call to find out where Nancy Kerrigan was training. The hit was supposed to have been done on Cape Cod, but what they didn't know was that Nancy had already left for Detroit. Otherwise, that would have happened there. So certainly she was aware that something was going to happen to Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after that, it was very awkward because it was kind of an appeals process. And it was such a mess. Both athletes ended up going to the Olympics. And it was a circus that I think hurt Nancy over there because people in the Olympic level were so sick of the whole thing I think that there's no way they wanted an American woman to win a gold medal there.
Right. So Kerrigan won the silver, right?
Yes,
and Harding came in eighth. So that must have been another zoo to cover that whole thing. Was that a difficult story?
It was. Well, also because Nancy was local. You know, there was intense interest in it in and around Boston. And I think that what happened was that there was so much uncertainty just going in from the U.S. team side. Will Nancy's knee come around enough where she can, you know, do a program? And will they throw Tonya off the team? So it turned out they did not throw Tonya off. And they did. And Nancy was, you know, well enough to jump. But what was really crazy was the first team practice over there, they had to literally practice together. Everyone by then knew that Tanya was involved in some way in this thing. And the rules were the whole team had to practice together at the same time. So that was, I mean, the circus never really ended here.
Right, right. You know, you mentioned class as an issue here. And I'm wondering, you know, Nancy Kerrigan and Tanya Harding were from similar economic backgrounds, right?
Yeah. You know, I think what's been, you know, now I think there's this kind of yin and yang concept where Nancy was the, you know, the privileged ice queen. Nancy's father was a welder who worked three jobs, including as a Zamboni driver in the rink.
To get her lessons.
To let her skate.
Right, right.
So it was not as though Nancy, you know, Nancy had these silver skates. You know, I don't think she needed to. I mean, she clearly didn't have the troubled background that Tanya did. But it was not unusual then. Many of the women who were competing then came from working class backgrounds. Nicole Bobek never knew her father. Holly Cook didn't have a whole lot of money. It was not unusual for working class women to be in contention for the team.
But do you think there is this, it still is image conscious about class dynamics and about having this leggy princess as opposed to someone a little rougher looking? I mean, is it still like that in figure skating, would you say?
I think it is. It is probably a bit less like that now. Hmm. Also, I don't think that Tanya helped her image. I mean, she was well known for driving trucks, drinking, smoking, and shooting pool. And, you know, that said, she was a national champion. She won in 1991. And I think had she softened those edges a little bit, she could have gotten endorsements. And if she trained a little more, she could have kept her title and she could have been the ice queen going into 1992 as opposed to Chrissy Yamaguchi, who ended up winning the gold.
Why do you think this story continues to fascinate us? I read, actually, it described as being reality TV before there was reality TV.
Exactly. And I think looking at now, looking at some of the themes in American society, she's a more sympathetic figure in that, especially with the whole sexual assault theme. She was assaulted by her half-brother. She was beaten by her ex-husband. Her mother was very abusive to her. Also, I think there's certainly a have and have-not theme in America now. Mm-hmm. And many, many Americans will identify with Tanya's story. You know, many people who voted for Trump who said, you know, you won't be ignored anymore, you won't be passed over anymore. A lot of Americans feel looked down upon, marginalized. So I think to them, I think, you know, Tanya is a more sympathetic figure than she would have been in 1994.
John Powers, Olympics correspondent for the Boston Globe. John, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.